Inside the Eye live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, good day, everyone. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. I'm your host, LB Bork, founder of People's Awareness Coalition. Hope everyone's doing great today. We have a few topics to go over during this program, the next 2 hours. I'm going to be talking with my good friend, recent friend over the last year or so. It's probably been a year and a half already. I don't know. We should have met a long time ago. Anyway, Mike Gaddy's going to be with me today, and a little later, probably bottom of the hour, he'll join us for the last three segments of the program today. John Breeson will be with us. He did a rundown on the debate last night, and that's what we're going to be talking a little bit about today. But hope you stay with us. We got 2 hours ahead of us, and hopefully we'll have some fun. And yes, this is Revolution Radio. I thank you for joining us on the station, and I thank all the management of this station to allow us to, you know, have a spot to put out our opinions and to think out loud so you people can see what we're thinking. And I think between the three of us today, we've got, I don't know, close to 60, 70 years in research and ideas of the way things should be or could be if people would accept it. Anyway, how are you doing today, Mike?
Coming right along, LB. I hope you're well.
Yeah, I'm trying. You know, we were talking just before we came live about this weird virus crap. And I noticed something, thanks to a mechanic on the station here. He, you know, everyone's got something to bring to the table. And people probably think I know everything the way I speak and talk. But it's not so much that. I just have a remedy and a plan, you know. And I've been doing this 25 years and had a idea what needs to be done about 20 years ago. And it seems like people just like to hobble along, getting screwed over by this New World Order. But anyway, mechanic said a few months ago, he noticed that they were wearing masks back in 1918. And it was for influenza. And that carried on for 3 years, I understand. I find it interesting that about, 7 years after that, they had the great crash of 1928. So I think they're just playing. Of course, that was, started the Great Depression. And I can't help but thinking they're just taking it out of the playbook and doing it again, but it's going to be worldwide this time. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I believe that we are the pandemic was the inauguration of the beginning of the end. They had seen with several of their false flag events, and I mean by they, I mean the international banker-led cabal that we call government, at almost every level. They had seen that the people were so gullible, they would believe anything. And so once that happened, and then we had that event in 2019 where the government did not collect enough revenue to pay the interest on the debt. Well, you know, you and I both know that the principal on the debt is nothing because that is magic money made up by the international bankers. So the interest on the debt is all that matters. And so the international bankers, if they're not going to make their interest, if we can't make that interest payment on the money that we owed, and gosh, look how many more trillion we owe now, that, you know, it was time to cash in. And this is not the first time in history they've done this. Right. As you alluded to, it happened, but it happened during our founding as well on a couple of occasions. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the first bank of the United States was instituted in 1791. For a 20-year charter, it expired in 1811, and so we have the War of 1812. And what was done with the money at the end of that 20-year charter is a story in itself. And, you know, of course, with our wonderful public fool system, no one knows that. And but it's just a repetition. We see where the bankers now are not going to be able to collect their interest. So they're going to start collecting property because look at how many businesses went under with this pandemic and how much of that that private property that was owned by these people who loaned their businesses was mortgaged in some way and will now become the property of the international bankers. And we also know that there are millions of people who are tardy in their mortgage payments, and that's going to have to come due. I think it's just part of the plan. It you go right by the playbook, and the playbook always works. And Bubus Americanus is incapable of waking up to the reality of the world and just keeps playing the game.
Yes, there's no doubt that the bankers are behind this, and that's what happened after the Civil War, because that's what I center on is the Civil War period in the 1850s on up for the most part. And I know you've gone back to, the founding document, which is, well, not the founding document per se. A lot of people say it's the Declaration of Independence, which technically I suppose it is, but they seem to skip over the Articles of Confederation. And they went and want to teach us that the founding fathers are George Washington and the guys that put the Constitution in place, which I call the con job Constitution. and you do too, I know. But I've studied back 3,000 years or so to understand what we're dealing with, the characters we're really dealing with. So, but like I said, I center on the Civil War, and what happened after the Civil War is the bankers started mortgaging up. You know, everything was grand after the Civil War. You know, let's give the farmers or the poor people on the land some money so they can extend their profits on their family businesses. And by the time the 1900s, the early 1900s came around, they had several planks of the Communist Manifesto already installed. The main one that people are aware of was the income tax via, the Federal Reserve Act of, 1913? So it all led up to this pandemic that they had back in 1918. And as I said, it lasted about 3 years, but by 1928, they had this banker holiday type thing, and they crashed everything. By then, a lot of the people moved off their lands because they couldn't make their mortgages, and they took their properties, like you were saying. A lot of people moved into the cities. They lost their lands, and that's how that worked. But the way I look at it, they talk about 2030 being the date that everything's going to be installed. So we're looking at about 8 years from now with the what do they call it? It's escaping my mind right now. 2030.
Oh yeah, the Agenda 21.
Agenda 21. It was called, but now it's Agenda 2030. So the timing's about right. So I don't know. This is a prediction based on what we just discussed that you brought up with all this stuff with the bankers taking over. So there's about probably 8 years, I would say, before they start dropping the hammer. And that's going to be worldwide this time.
Well, I think we're also right about 2 weeks away from a catastrophic event. And I hope I'm wrong. Many times when I look at these scenarios, I really hope and pray that I'm wrong. But I see a catastrophic event coming from this election, and there are so many scenarios to look at, and all of them will lead to chaos because both sides have already said they will not accept the outcome. And and I'm looking at just hypothetically, you look at a lot of different scenarios, and this big debacle over a Supreme Court justice, which is totally meaningless. It's not going to make any difference who gets it anyway. They're going to end up voting the same way. So, but I see a great, we look at John Roberts and look what he did for the Affordable Care Act, and he was nominated as this great conservative justice, an originalist, and he was going to do this, and he was going to take care of us and get us back on the road. And so then he makes the decisive vote in the Affordable Care Act. Affordable Care Act. So then, what's going to happen if they do vote in this lady, and she, and so the election goes into the Supreme Court, which constitutionally it should never have happened, but it did in 2000. But we have a precedent now, so there are lawsuits filed. It goes into the Supreme Court, and the new justice cast the deciding vote in the way that the government wants it to go. I just see that as an ironic play out of the scenario because, again, John Roberts has already provided that. And these people are, these justices who basically decide what is and what is not constitutional, which was never intended by the Constitution for them to be in that position. But, as we have evolved, Americans have accepted that, and they believe that these nine oligarchs run the country. So that's going to be interesting, but the election is going to be chaos. I don't see any way that we have what we used to refer to as the peaceful election and a peaceful exchange of power should that vote go that way, because it's not going to happen.
Yeah, they've warned us that we're not going to know who won on election night even. It's going to be at least 3 days after or something to that effect, which is ridiculous. And supposedly about a third of the people voted already.
Well, I'm thinking that it will be actually a real gift if the election is decided by Inauguration Day. I think that may be put off. I don't see... you look at this thing, and the only people who profit from this chaos is the government. The people never profit from chaos. There is no profit for the people whatsoever. But the government will, and they're going to exercise and to see exactly what they can get away with this election, because we have all of the emotions running high, all of these things that are thrown out there. We have Giuliani now being heavily involved in coming up with evidence on Hunter Biden. And that is a story that gets thrown out there to increase the interest of the American public. You got to get Bubas glued to that, to the lobotomy box, because that is where American opinion is formulated. And that is exactly what they're doing. They've thrown out so many controversial issues in this election that everyone is glued to that TV set.
Right. Supposedly, they got like 20 percent more of Americans to register to vote. And of course, you, as you know, that's my forte, so to speak, in regards to how the system works these days. It's a crime to vote. So they just solidified anyone's, you know, fate to even challenge this in the future.
What I would like to see, LB, is I would like to see the figures, an accurate figure put out at this election time, how much the government itself has put into TV, radio, and all kind of Facebook, all kind of advertising.
Propaganda.
How much the government has invested money to get people to come out and vote, because that gives the government legitimacy. If the people say, hell no, I'm not voting, if enough of them did that, then the government itself said in Iraq in 2005 with that election, if at least 50% of the people don't show up, that's a no confidence vote and the election won't count. So that, is, I think, scares this government to death, is that the people will refuse to participate, because that in and of itself is a vote of no confidence.
Right.
And they will spend millions, billions, maybe even more.
Of their money, the people's money.
Yes. So they're paying people. They're using the people's money. Well, most of the money's fiat money anyway now. So what they're throwing out there, but why would the government, if it wasn't interested in being legitimized in the voting process, why would they put out all of this money to get people to vote? Because it only profits government. It never profits the people. If you pick the evil of two lessers, you still get evil. That's what we have.
Well, it's said, of course, I haven't done the archive research or whatever you would want to look at back before the Civil War, so-called Civil War. It was an international war, actually. You know, no one was voting. That came about with a similar fervor, I think, that they did with Trump this time. They did with Lincoln. They got people voting back then. And like I said, it's right in Section 2 of the 14th Amendment that you denied the right to vote unless you participate in rebellion. And as you know, I call it the Communist Rebellion that was put in place after the Civil War. And people don't understand this. They don't read my material. They say I'm crazy, been telling me I'm crazy for 20 years now. But it also says all this debt is illegal and void in Section 4 of the 14th Amendment. So as long as people are enjoying this system of communism, they're going to be in perpetual debt. And like I said a minute ago, they just sealed it by getting more people to vote. I don't think it was over 50% for the last past several years that were voting. So they didn't have that majority that you just mentioned.
Well, LB.
So now it is, though. Okay, over 50%.
Jump back to 1860. You mentioned that election. In 1860, Abraham Lincoln was not even on the ballot in 10 southern states. And Abraham Lincoln got less than 40% of the popular vote and became president of the United States. So,
and Hillary had problems, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway. Go ahead. I think I interrupted you.
No, that's okay. I was just saying that, you know, to, if we want to put so much faith in an election, how could we say in any way, shape, form, or fashion that the 10 states where Lincoln was not even a choice on their ballot could be ruled by someone they didn't even have an option to vote against?
Right. Yeah, like I said, I haven't looked deeply into that issue. It seems similar to what they're doing with Trump. They kind of forced Trump on people. But as we can see, it's going pretty well for him. He's got upwards of 5,000 people showing up for his rallies or events.
Well, I think that's fantastic. You get all these people who go running out. And the reason they're running out, and I said fantastic facetiously, the reason they're all running out to participate is because they are not excited about voting for someone. They're excited about voting against someone. So,
well, for the Democrats, for sure, because a lot of people hate Trump.
Well, you know, for a lot of the American public, if you go back to 2016, you go back 4 years ago, Donald Trump said at that time that he wanted to bring back the government of Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, how many Southerners voted for him anyway?
As you just laid out. Well, they're doing it now. No, not Lincoln.
Well, it's all emotion.
It's the same character. Because even, I don't know if you watched the debate last night, but even, well, Biden called Trump Lincoln because he kind of referenced it. But like you said, he's been doing it for all the long here.
Well, I thought something very unusual. A group in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and I'm not sure why they included me in their group text. But they put out a group text, been out for a couple of days, where they're going back and forth, and they're heavily Republican. And they were going back and forth and back and forth about the debate and how this is not going to be right and how the debate's going to be this way, that way, or the other. And so, you know, I read it for 2 days, and then I finally said yesterday afternoon, wouldn't it be interesting if Trump were to bring up the Constitution during the debate and ask Joe Biden constitutional questions?
Right.
Would that not favor Trump? And the American public would say, hey, someone actually cares about the Constitution, and Biden doesn't know anything about the Constitution. Well, neither does Trump. I totally believe that. But they look at that. And I was surprised at the number, well, not really, but the number of people who dropped out of the conversation because I brought up the Constitution in the debate. So to me, that was a clear indicator that those people are not interested in the Constitution. It's the emotional issue of right and left.
Oh, yeah, they've got that down to a science at this time. We've seen it in an operation. Yeah, during this election cycle, no doubt. It kind of happened last one, too. Like you said, they needed a populist president, and that's what they did. But what's your opinion or thoughts on his apprentice program, Trump's apprentice program? Do you think they were grooming the people for this? To get him to be a populist president by doing that show?
Well, you know, how many times every once in a while they have to run out and get someone and run through the election process because the people are tiring of Twiddledee and Twiddledum. And after Romney and Obama in, what was it, 2012? After that debacle where you had, you know, the only difference between those two was skin pigmentation. So, and after a while, the people lose interest. 90-some million people, at least one figure I read, 90-some million people didn't even bother to vote in 2012. So I believe that the establishment, the international banker-led establishment, knew that in 2016, if they ran Bush against Hillary, it was going to be another debacle and more people were not going to show up. So they created a huge emotional diversion. Here we have someone, I mean, look at how he appealed emotionally. I'm not going to take the salary. Well, whoopee-dee, I'm not going to take my salary. And so that has an emotional hook to it where you hook the people. Oh, look, he wants to do the job. He doesn't even want to be paid.
Of course.
And it's like watching a soap opera, LB, and for that reason, I don't pay a whole hell of a lot of attention to it because it doesn't really make any difference.
Right. I was talking to a few people this week, and lately, or the last couple years, I've been saying Twitter came out at an odd time. Facebook really screwed America up as far as distracting people and getting people, you know, sucked into this. They've actually said it's an addiction because that's the way they set it up. Facebook, they throttled it like the cigarette industry did to get people addicted to it. I don't know what they did in particular, but they did certain things to get people addicted to it. And then Twitter comes along, and some people say that it's just being used for politics anymore. It's not being used for much of anything else, but you notice the Twitter bird, you know, it goes back to that idiom that people say, a little bird told me, which relates to gossip. So Twitter has become just a political gossip machine, which I think it was intended to do, you know. And that gets back to the emotional issues that you're talking about. And people have fallen for it, hook, line, and sinker. If you're a fisherman, you understand that idiom. It's pretty sad, but it's working. It works, unfortunately. And
obviously it works. You know, it's like I was telling you beforehand, if you can drive by a cemetery and there's no one in the cemetery except one woman, and she's standing there beside a gravestone and she's wearing a mask, my immediate question was, is she afraid she could catch COVID from the dead people, or is she afraid she'll give it to them?
It's there's no thought process there.
That's the mindset. It's fear. Those are the people without the ability to reason comprehensively are the majority of the people who are so tied up into this election.
Yeah. I've got a guy here in town I know that wears his mask in his car. Of course, I saw the, I don't know, it was a meme or something that says, you don't have to know who people in cars are wearing their mask or voting for. And the odd thing is, he also helped Obama during his first election. And by the second election, he goes, he's no different than George Bush was. And I go, geez, you didn't read my book, did you? I gave you a copy and you didn't do it. Anyway, this is Dare to Think Out Loud, and we'll be back after these station announcements. Stay tuned.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. My name is LB Bork. Today I have Mike Gaddy. And I just hooked up John. John Breeson's also with us at this time. We're talking about this and that, and pretty much, I don't know, we're talking about the election and how that works and whatever. And my work has brought me to a certain place, which I found out elections are unlawful because they had to get people's approval to the system that they unlawfully put in place because they violated their own constitution. So they had to get voters' approval individually to you know, make it work. And they've got over half the Americans registered and voting this election with the rigmarole and crap they've pulled. But one of the definitions I found when I was doing my research years and years ago was de facto government. And it's out of a court case, and it's referenced in documentation or the authorities of American law, and it's an Amger revised edition, section 12 it came out of, and it deals with international law. And it, like I've said or told people, which I didn't realize until I did my own research and came to an understanding that the Constitution is technically a treaty under international law, which is private law. So everything in the Constitution is deemed private law. So you have to have a certain status to be participated in the thing in the first place, because each state is considered a country or nation or a state nation. And people don't understand that. Like I said, I didn't know it back in the 90s when I first studied. I had to come up to that conclusion myself. Of course, it's looked at as it's similar to what Hitler was doing. It's always been looked at as a national socialist type system where everything's centralized. And Mike knows this, and his position is that, you know, the federal government's always been that way. And my position is they solidified it with no questions asked with the 14th Amendment. And, of course, that all happened with Reconstruction and during the Civil War. But here's that definition, and the best part of it, or the most telling part, is the last few words of it. A de facto government, a new government which exercises undisputed sway over the entire country. And they use country in regard to the Union in a loose form, internally, especially internationally. It's looked at as a country of sorts. But anyway, the former established government having been nullified by successful rebellion or having lost the support of the people. A de facto government arises where the established government has been subverted by the rebellion, or by rebellion rather, so that the new government exercises undisputed sway for the time being over the entire country. or where the people of any portion of the country subject to the same government throw off their allegiance to the government and establish one of their own. That government is the Communist Association I talk about. And show not only that they have established a government, but their ability to maintain it. That's why I call the people participating in this government, the media and things like that, as maintainers. They are maintaining this unlawful system according to their constitution. The Federalists that put this in place, this government's unlawful, and people are voting for it, and they're, you know, in perpetual debt because of it. It's very unfortunate. And that's what we're dealing with, and we got a bunch of maintainers out there. They all registered. Welcome, John. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you fine, gentlemen, doing?
Mike, okay. Go ahead.
Well, easy there, John. Watch what you call me. You could tarnish my reputation.
He meant Gentile man.
Oh, okay. All right. Just so long as we got that clarified.
That's the plan anyway.
I wanted to commend you. I've been listening to your podcast and a lot of things that you deal with. And I just wanted to commend you being a young man with such a perception of what is actually going on in the world. If we could mint you and make copies and insert you into several different locales, we might have a chance. But thanks for all of the efforts and everything you do to try to enlighten people and to get them to actually see the truth.
Thank you very much. Thank y'all both very much. I'm humbled. Thank you. There are some millennials out there who do see what's going on in the world. Granted, it's quite few of them, but there are some, and I know some. And I covered the debate with some of them yesterday. And that debate was better than the first one. Trump got a lot in. Biden got a few things in. The moderator was better. This is what the first debate should have been. I wish Trump would have talked more about policy and platforms. As much as, you know, us here and probably us listening on Revolution Radio care about how corrupt Hunter Biden is and how corrupt Joe Biden is, the average public, unless, you know, Hunter Biden gets arrested, doesn't care. You're just not going to convince. It's just too much. You're just not going to convince them of the crimes of the Bidens. It's not being played on CNN. They're actually, CNN last night called it a Breitbart News to try to gloss over it or tarnish it. So majority of Americans just won't get it. They don't care. They should care. Don't get me wrong by me saying that. They should, but they don't. So unless Hunter Biden is arrested, it's just not going to make that much of a difference on the election. Unless Joe Biden drops out, I don't see that happening. So anybody who thinks that anything is going to come from this, I seriously doubt it. I give it less than 5% chance that anything happens. And my motto is very few people ever go to jail, especially those that are very high up, like the former vice president of these United States of America and long-term senator and heavily corrupt Joseph Robinette Biden. So, yeah, people don't, like you ask the average person, they either have heard about it and was told it was right-wing propaganda, or they legitimately don't care. So Trump should be hammering on the issues and the differences between him and Biden. And there are some, however, there aren't some. With Trump, you're still getting Operation Warp Speed. You still might be required to get the vaccine. The leftists are now being framed in talking points as the anti-vaxxers. So if you're a right-wing person and you're an anti-vaxxer, Well, this optics, these 5,000D dimensional backgammon that the Trump administration is playing is bullcrap. It's making us look bad because they, even though, you know, the left is all like, trust the science, trust the science, trust the science. Yeah, so is the Trump administration, too. They're pushing forth pharmaceutical drugs, therapeutic drugs to tackle COVID-19. Trump didn't take hydroxychloroquine. Oh, imagine that, you guys. Instead, he took Remdesivir and Regen-COVID-2. It's just a mess. All things a mess. Mm-hmm. Now, yes, I do think that Trump needs to get reelected so that, you know, we'll finally find out if anything happens or not, which I highly, seriously, highly freaking doubt it that anything happens. No one's going down. And then you guys are going to have a whole bunch, a lot of egg on your face that supported him, or you're going to complain and quadruple down that, well, it was just him versus the world and he just couldn't get it done. So, yeah, good luck with that. But I do believe that Trump will win. I do think Trump needs to win for this to be concluded. And I guess we'll see come election time.
Mike, do you have any comments? I've got a lot to say, not in contradiction to what he said, but just to add to it.
No, go ahead. I think that is a very candid observation. I listened to John's podcast, listened to the comments. I would not have listened to the debate in any other format because to me, the comments that among John and his friends was much more interesting than the debate could ever have been in my world. Yes, I agree in principle. I may see a different outcome or a different scenario, but I really would like to see, you know, all of this QAnon stuff get exposed for what it is.
Sure.
That's not going to happen either, because the thing that has been throughout my lifetime, for those who call themselves conservatives, it doesn't make any difference what their guy does. They rationalize it away to nothing, and it will continue that way. So, I'm interested in your observations, LB.
Well, I some of this Q stuff, not that it's 100% accurate, but we have to look at what Lindsey Graham, for example, he was ticked off when Trump came in. He said he was a loser and he doesn't belong with us, except, you know, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but, you know, he hated him. Then all of a sudden, he's all on board. So someone talked to him. Or he had a talking to, something happened. And Trump, you know, as we know, is an outsider, as they say. And I think that's what most of the establishment hates, especially the Democrats. He's not part of the mix, and they're threatened by his existence just for that reason. And we really can't tell how much of this is theatrics over to compared to reality. Of what I call the shadow government. The deep state is something different to me. The deep state is just a entity that they thought up to cover up that there is a shadow government. You know, it's these bad guys or bad actors in government's fault, you know. So it's going to be interesting either way what happens. And John, not to, upset the apple cart, which you just laid out, but you said, I'm not trying to embarrass you, but you said during the first election, you said, let's just get Hillary in there and let's get this over with, you know, so-called conservatives have their hissy fit and let's, you know, just accelerate this. How come you change your mind at this point?
The thing is because Trump's already in office. It's already too late now.
Okay.
That's the difference. I haven't changed my mind at all. The only way that we're going to get any truth from this is for Trump to be reelected and for the people who voted for him, who still think that he's our guy and that he's going to be the God Emperor and everybody's going to jail or going to Gitmo, are going to have a lot of freaking egg on their faces. I haven't changed nothing. That's just, it has to be done that way. Because if Biden gets elected, as I mentioned before, it's always going to be whataboutism.
Do you think it would extend things a little longer with Trump in there compared to Biden?
Probably, yeah. But I don't know about how much. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
He's going door to door giving vaccinations, and extend what? Extend what at that point?
Right. The ultimate crash, I guess, is what I'm talking about. I don't know if you listened to us the first segment or half hour, but we were talking a bit about that. And yeah. I see a pattern of the 1918 pandemic that they had back in the 1900s. They're following the same game plan, but it's, we discussed off, personally that it's going to be worldwide this time instead of just for the United States.
Yeah.
It worked then. It'll work again, you know. So.
Always.
Anyway. Yeah. Another thing that I noticed, and you said you were hinting at it a little bit, and this liberalism. You know, it used to be, or some people say, I'm a classic liberal, okay? And I had the epiphany, I don't know, like I said, you were trying to hint to me a little bit. I don't remember that, I'm sorry. And my epiphany might be because of your hints, but I've always had trouble explaining to people about classic liberalism. It's like, liberalism is liberalism. And I finally figured out an explanation to people that give you that line. And the Constitution was always to do away with Christianity. And I've known this for years, of course, but I know a lot of people that say they're classic liberals, and it doesn't matter. It's a progressive program. A liberal from, 230 years ago is the same as a liberal today. They've just accelerated the program and put more into the mix. So anyway, I guess I'm taking a dig at these people that think they're constitutionalist and classic liberals. They're the same thing. Anyway, maybe that was off point a little bit, but anyway, I said it. Mike, you had something you wanted to bring up with John.
Well, yeah, I understand John's point very well, because in 2000, I wrote an article titled Al Sharpton for President, Let's Get a Full Dose of This Crap. So I totally understand where John's coming from with that. And I thought if you get gradual doses of this, the people accept it more readily. But if you gave them a full-on dose of socialism, they might reject it. But right now we have a full-on dose and they're not rejecting it. But maybe 20 years ago we might have had an opportunity if they would have had a full-on dose of Al Sharpton and the far-left mantra of the country. But, you know, that time has passed. So, but, yeah, I certainly understand John's point in 4 years ago of saying let's get Hillary in there.
Get it done with.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's a slowly cooked frog position, or whatever you want to call that story. And it kind of ties in to what I was just saying. And I think you can understand what I'm getting at. These classic liberals have been putting up with this for 230 years. Like I've said to people before, and I know John likes this, conservatives don't even know what they're conserving. They just been put into this label or this category where they go, well, I'm a conservative. They really don't know what they're conserving.
Well, they put it on like a favorite pair of jeans, but they don't realize exactly who made the jeans. And the point of it is if we look at the basic definition, a conservative wants to conserve the status quo. Well, in today's world, that makes a conservative a socialist.
Right.
Because they want to conserve the status quo, and we have a socialist government. And so if they want to conserve that government, if that's the status quo, then how are they any different from the left?
That's right. And it gets back to, you know, what I was saying. Some people may think I was going off topic, but it's a slowly cooked frog thing. A liberal is a liberal. The purpose of this whole constitutional system was to do away with true Christianity.
Okay, LB, I got a question for you. Is there a great example of how they, at the Constitutional Convention of 1787, moved to eliminate Christianity? Is there an example that you can cite? Because if you can't, I can't.
Well, I you're the expert there, so go ahead.
I don't know about being an expert, but here's the thing that I will tell you is that in 1787, 12 of the 13 states had an oath to the Christian faith in their, if you were to be elected to office, you had to take an oath to the Christian faith. And the only state that didn't have that oath was Rhode Island. So the other 12 had it in various forms, but it, you know, Delaware, Vermont, all of them had an oath to the Christian faith, even mentioning the Christian faith and, you know, the Trinity in their oaths. So what did they do at the Constitutional Convention but come up with Article 6, Clause 3, which did away with all oaths everywhere? Well, if 12 of the 13 states had an oath to Christianity and you vote to get rid of all oaths, what are you basically getting rid of? And at that time, Jews could not serve in the U.S. government.
Right.
They were excluded. And so the synagogue in Philadelphia sent a letter to the Constitutional Convention complaining about the oaths to Christianity and the fact that no Jew could serve in the government if they continued. And also in the ratification conventions, a gentleman from North Carolina made a very prescient comment about Article 6, Clause 3, and he said, I'm trying to think of his name now, but anyway, he made the statement, well, if we allow this Article 6, Clause 3 to stand, in some future day, our government will be inhabited with infidels and Muslims.
Yes. And the Treaty of Tripoli dealt with that issue. It was a treaty with Muslims, and they said right in that treaty that the United States is in no way a Christian nation or a government represents a Christianity.
Well, Article 6, Clause 3 eliminated the oath to Christianity for federal office, but it also eliminated it, and now not all states dropped it. Eventually they did. Finally, Indiana was the last state to drop an oath to the Christian faith, but that was only for notary publics, but they're the last one that dropped an oath to the Christian faith to serve in a state government. Mm-hmm. But if you read, and considering that we didn't have the 17th Amendment at that time, so all senators had to be sent from those states. So imagine the terror among these Federalists if they had senators and that 12 states at that time out of 13, so 24 out of 26 senators in the government had taken an oath to the Christian faith. How would that go with corruption? If you had people who had taken a solemn oath to the Christian faith, and 24 out of 26 have taken that oath, how well do you think that you're going to be able to push this agenda of socialism?
It's going to be a lot easier having no faith in God.
Well, and that was basically what they threw out there.
Yeah. Anyway, we got on that tangent. Didn't mean to, but John, do you have any thoughts on that, or? I know you're a Christian. All three of us
No, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's interesting how the freedom of religion within the United States wasn't the freedom for Christians to practice any form of Christianity that they wanted, to whether it's Protestantism or Catholicism or Orthodox. But the freedom of religion is for a person to practice any religion they so choose. This has never been a Christian nation. Sorry, just isn't. Now, the people that came over were the Puritans and you know, other people from Europe were Christians. But the founding of this country, majority of the founding fathers, except for Patrick Henry and a few others, they were not Christian. So this, you know, everybody likes to say that the Constitution and everything was founded on Christianity. It was not. So it's where we're at. You know, it's
well, and I'm sorry, John, go ahead.
The more we turn away from God, you know, that's the
worse and worse.
Yeah.
Well, that's in their final exchange of letters before John Adams and Thomas Jefferson passed away on the same day, before in their exchange of letters in their later life, they both fully admitted to being Unitarian and or not deist, but Unitarian. And Thomas Jefferson said he would hope that the day would come where every man in America was a Unitarian in one of his last letters to John Adams. So that, to me, is conclusive evidence.
Yes, very much so. I was unaware of that. That's very interesting, Mike.
But they signed the Constitution in the year of our Lord. What Lord is that?
LB, have another drink.
I think it's Lord Satan, but, you know, whatever.
Well, in the year of our Lord means nothing. There is no, you know, absolutely, the guy who... The anti-federalist who exposed this better than anyone else was Samuel Bryan, writing his Sentinel. He exposed this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the information's out there because, I don't know, you got to read the documents, right, John?
Yes, yeah. I've had both you all, Mr. Bork, and I've had Mike on to discuss many different topics, and hope to have you guys on again. And It's quite sad, you know. I mean, many people, when they're learning about the founding fathers or learning about the Constitution in school, you know, they're barely learning about them any at all. And then if you try to go to these conservative groups to try to learn about the Constitution or the Bill of Rights or the founding of this country or the founding fathers or any of that, you're kind of giving like this watered down CMP version.
With that, we have a break. Station break. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. We'll be back in about 3-4 minutes. Stay tuned. Got another hour left.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne. And I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one, as we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in. And I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for the Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
We're not anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
You're what?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, we're back. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. This is, as Mike just said, Nighthawk just said, it's Revolution Radio. Glad you could make it. And be with us. And this is the second hour of our program today, talking about election. And we got into Christianity based on me commandeering the whole thing, I guess. But we're just talking about general things. And I don't know. Thanks for joining us. This is a listener-supported station, so we'd appreciate it if you help us out. Don't give your donations to the two parties with one face, which are the Republicans and Democrats. Give them to us, because we can offer a lot more than those guys do, because they're just conning you, basically. So, yeah, if you go to revolution.radio or freedomslips.com, you can find the donation button at the top of the page. Or there's Patreon. You hit that orange button. Or you can send it snail mail. Still my favorite, but system has taken over mail. They don't do much by mail anymore, except maybe voting. Anyway, yeah, you can donate that way. The address is at the bottom of the webpage, and we'd really appreciate that. Anyway, Mike, you had a topic you wanted to talk about. Did you bring that up already? You wanted John on board before you mentioned it. What is that? Go ahead.
Well, actually, I cheated. Actually, I have two topics that I would like to discuss. And let me throw out the first one, since we just had a confirmation hearing for a Supreme Court position. And almost everyone... who has ever watched TV has seen an advertisement for a lawyer who is going to take your case and win, and none of them ever lose. But in the background, there is an office, and almost in every one of those, and if you've ever been in a law office, you're going to see a set of books there. And I know, LB, I know you're familiar with them, and it is called American Jurisprudence. You've referenced it on several occasions. Pardon me. So the one thing I would like to have seen during the confirmation hearings was for someone to have asked the candidate about AMJUR, or American Jurisprudence, specifically 16 American Jurisprudence 2nd, Section 177, late 2nd, Section 256. And I would like to read that, and then I'd like to get your input, John, as well as yours, LB, on how this would work. And I am quoting directly from that American jurisprudence. The general misconception is that any statute passed by legislators bearing the appearance of law constitutes the law of the land. The U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and any statute to be valid must be in agreement. It is impossible for both the Constitution and a law violating it to be valid. One must prevail. This is succinctly stated as follows. The general rule is that an unconstitutional statute, though having the form and name of law, is in reality no law, but a wholly void and ineffective for any purpose, since unconstitutionality dates from the time of its enactment and not merely from the date of the decision so branding it. An unconstitutional law in legal contemplation is as inoperative as if it had never been passed. Such a statute leaves the question that it purports to settle just as it would be had the statute not been enacted. Since an unconstitutional law is void, the general principles follow that it imposes no duties, confers no rights, creates no office, bestows no power or authority on anyone, affords no protection, and justifies no acts performed under it. A void act cannot be legally consistent with a valid one. An unconstitutional law cannot operate to supersede any existing valid law. Indeed, insofar as a statute runs counter to the fundamental law of the land, it is superseded thereby. No one is bound to obey an unconstitutional law, and no courts are bound to enforce it. How do you think Amy Barrett would have answered a question on that part of American jurisprudence, gentlemen?
Go ahead, John.
I don't know. I don't think she would have answered any way that would be acceptable to what any of us think about it, you know? Because these Supreme Court justices, they just mainly just do as they're told. As far as their rulings, for the most part, at least on major issues, I mean, look at Brett Kavanaugh and how often he swings for the liberals, but helped cover up the Vince Foster murder for the Clintons, so he's owned by them. So, I mean, I would love for us to return more, holding law, but I just don't see it happening. Am I missing anything? You guys, am I wrong?
Well, let me add say that with an ignorant population or body politic, as it's considered now, it is one body politic. It's not bodies politic as it was before the 14th Amendment. It's operating as one unit. You're not going to get anywhere. And that's why I started People's Awareness Coalition 20 years ago. It was for political awareness, people's political awareness, which is grounded in people committing treason against the original system, which is treason against their state, or sedition at minimum. And I'm going to read a definition in a second here based on what people are doing, you know, unwittingly. But, you know, nothing's going to get done if you got an ignorant lot of people. And like I was starting to say, People's Awareness Coalition is about political awareness and constitutional education. And no one seems interested in that. And we had a foothold in this movement up until 10 years ago when they commandeered everything with social media. And I hit on that last hour a little bit. And it plays to the emotions, like Mike was saying. People are emotional. They've commandeered everything, and it's intentional, no doubt in my mind. And I see a lot of these people that claim to be patriots, but they're nothing but maintainers, and they're committing treason and maintaining the system. You know, I could name names, but I'm not going to do that today. We'll keep it a little clean. If you want to find the Island Makers Project, you'll find the old list. I'm trying to get a new one up so we can get all the people that are maintaining the system up there, including all the news agencies. You know, just we need a lot of help with this, but that needs to be done, because as I see it, we got less than 10 years to get our act together if we're going to save this at all. And go ahead, Mike.
I suppose I probably didn't state my point clearly, and that was why the two main focuses of discussion with the proposed candidate or the nominated candidate was the Affordable Care Act, the Affordable Health Care Act, and Roe v. Wade. So what if a senator would have asked Ms. Barrett how what I just read about unconstitutional laws being unconstitutional from the time they were written, and put those up in relationship to the Affordable Health Care Act and according to Roe v. Wade, how could she have answered that?
Well, it gets complicated, and it gets into what I've researched. They've got a dual system of law going on now. You know, and I pose this questions in my writings for years, that what constitution are you talking about? Post-14th Amendment or post-Civil War or pre-Civil War? That's where the deception comes in here. So, you know, I think it was Ron Paul back in the 90s. He wanted to put an act into Congress or on the books to mention where in the Constitution an act applies to. And I jokingly said, well, that's not going to work, because everything that they do is going to point to the 14th Amendment, and it's going to spill the beans. Of course, that went nowhere because of that reason, I believe. And another thing, this is off point a bit, but these idiots want to make Washington, D.C. a state now, which is totally ludicrous. They're way out of control. And as I said a minute ago, without people knowing the law, they're going to get away with murder, and they have. And I guess that's all I have to say about that. I hope I answered your question, Mike. And then the judge couldn't answer it. She would have had to got into details that they don't even want to do, because pursuant to Section 3 and 4 of the 14th Amendment, they can't talk about this. If they're involved in this criminal activity under the 14th Amendment, they have to keep their mouth shut. And it says so in the, I think it's fourth section of the 14th Amendment. An individual or average person reading it, they're not going to get it. But believe me, it says it. They can't talk about this stuff, because they're basically in treason to their state's minimum. And, them being involved in the federal government. There's Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is a savings clause. It saves them from being in treason, which I think is wholly ridiculous, because it totally usurps the system. And if I may, I would like to read the definition I mentioned a minute ago, and it's by the lexicon author Noah Webster from 1828. And it's general language, but the crossover of law language and average language was kind of the same back then. You know, they worked together, so to speak. But this is a term, insurgent, out of Webster's Dictionary of 1828. Insurgent, a person who rises in opposition to civil or political authority. One who openly and actively resists the execution of laws. No guns there. They're not talking about guns. You don't need guns, okay? An insurgent differs from a rebel. The insurgent opposes the execution of a particular law or laws. A rebel attempts to overthrow or change government, or he revolts and attempts to place his country under another authority. All rebels are insurgents, but not all insurgents are rebels. Okay, no guns necessary. It's just resisting the execution of law or laws. Then we go to, this ties in with what Mike's kind of talking about here. And here's the act of sedition. and this is in Beauvais' Law Dictionary also. Sedition, crimes, the raising commotions or disturbances in the state. It is a revolt against legitimate authority. The distinction between sedition and treason consists in this, that though its ultimate objective is in a violation of public peace, or at least such a course of measures as evidently engenders it, yet it does not aim to direct or open violence against the laws or the subversion of the Constitution. These people are subverted the Constitution, and I don't understand why. They're in sedition at minimum, but they're in treason, like I said. And the way Section 2 of the 14th Amendment is set up, the people are rebelling against the original system and turning the political authority over to the United States, which it doesn't have. So they're in rebellion. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, the Savings Clause, as I said. These people are in sedition. If people want to live under the constitutional principles, which is referred to as Republican freedom by these people, that's what I've been doing for 20 years now. You can do it, but they are in treason. They're saving themselves from treason themselves or being in rebellion by Section 3. They're just in, like the definition said, they're insurgents. And it's defined in Title 18. These people are defined in Title 18. So I don't understand, you know, how they've gotten away with this, but I do, because people don't know the law. And nothing's going to get fixed until they do. They're going to keep getting jerked around. And they've given us plenty of opportunities to challenge it. Matter of fact, Lindsey Graham, I think I mentioned him last hour, during the Kavanaugh hearing, they were talking about bipartisanship and this and that during his confirmation. And these are some of the hints. You don't know what they're saying or even talking about. They know what they're doing. Kavanaugh was asked by Lindsey Graham about voting He goes, well, during this conversation, it came up that Kavanaugh says, "I don't even vote." Well, he doesn't vote because it's a crime. And all Lindsey Graham would said is, "Oh, interesting." So there was a little hint. So if you don't know what they're talking about, they hint all over the place. But people don't know law, so they're getting screwed. That's all I have to say about that. I hope that answers the question a little bit, Mike.
Well, I think we revert back to the very point that we discussed earlier. As long as you keep the people emotionally involved, they will never become intellectually involved.
Yep, no doubt about that. And a dose of The Simpsons keeps them pretty much mental mush, in a mental mush state. But they're flaunting their power over everyone with that too, because I know the creator of The Simpsons is an Illuminist, excuse me. So they're making fun of Americans with that, shows like that. Walking Dead and the zombie references is all part and parcel to making fun of the population, because I wrote a paper called Department of Justice and Its Common Law years ago. And they had a quote they took that was off some grounds on the Washington, D.C. Properties, and they put it on the website of the Department of Justice under the Obama administration. And soon after I released my paper, they took it down, because I was exposing their scam. And there technically is no federal law based on some of the things I just said, but you know about common law, Mike. They use the case law as the common law, which is totally ridiculous. It's not a proper determination of how law works. But anyway, yeah, these people, I don't know. It's upsetting. People don't want to learn the law. But like I said, you know, John, do you have anything to say? I've just been on a soapbox here for the last 5 minutes.
Nah, you pretty much, I have nothing to add to it. Nothing. Nothing to add.
And of course, it's all part and parcel of taking our Christianity away. And another thing that's going on, that's why they keep hammering Trump on, are you a white supremacist? You know, it's ridiculous. But this is embedding into people that the original law system was Anglo-Saxon, and they don't want that law system back. I've seen this time and time again by places or organizations such as the Southern Poverty Law Center, which they're just maintainers or gatekeepers. It's an evil organization, let's put it that way. They're there to make sure Christians don't get their law back. And that's why they're hammering the white supremacy thing, because that is our law system, and they're trying to hide it from people and shame them into not taking it back. It sickens me, because I've known this for 25 years, solidly 22 years, and people aren't interested in it. They're distracted with social media, which was a scatter bomb that they put into the movement about 10 years ago. The people have to get their heads out of their asses. That's all there is to it. Or they're done totally. And it could be taken back, I believe, but it takes unity and understanding. And I don't see people wanting to do that. It's all about them, but they've trained people to do that too. Ayn Rand, was one of the agents that made sure that happened during the 60s, the me generation. Anyway, Mike, do you have anything else interesting? You said you had two subjects.
All right, second question that I have, and the second point is this, is that we actually have a real pandemic, if you would, or an epidemic in this country, and that is veteran suicides.
Yes.
And the veteran suicide rate, according to recent figures in Time magazine, is up 30%. And we were at an average of 22 a day. And we are having also now what are called parking lot suicides, where veterans are driving up to VA hospitals and committing suicide in the parking lot. And either that or going to veterans' cemeteries and committing suicide. Now, here is a point that if we had 22 of any other segment of society committing suicide every day, if we had 22 cops committing suicide every day or 22 politicians, prayers would be answered. But if we had that segment anywhere else, why is this not being dealt with? Why is this not a topic of conversation on CNN? Why is it not a topic of conversation on Fox? Why does no one want to deal with this situation? Is it because they might have to explain why these veterans are taking their own life?
Well, let me add that Trump has brought up suicides, but it's within the general population. So, you know, when Trump says things like that, it gives you some hope that maybe he is on the side of good. So, but it's buried, just like the media. The media is evil, total evil. They're maintaining the system, and that's got to be dealt with somehow. But anyway, I didn't mean to contradict what you're saying, but it has been brought up to a point, but they don't dwell on it. You know, they kind of just mention it. I think it gets back to these guys giving hints, because if they don't, they're totally complicit in what they're doing, which they are. I mean, but they can. It's plausible deniability, which I think came into fashion with Nixon, which is bullshit. You know, they're hiding stuff, is what my point is. Totally hiding stuff.
Well, LB, mentioning something is not discussing it.
Right. I that's what I was trying to say.
My point was there is no discussion on this. Why is there not in these panel discussions on CNN and Fox, instead of talking about Hunter Biden's, dancing naked on a YouTube or what have you, instead of talking about that, why don't they have a panel of people from the Veterans Administration and politicians on a panel saying, why is this happening?
Well, why don't want it to be known.
Well, that's my point. We have an actual epidemic that is being ignored so we can push a fake epidemic on the American public.
Right. I agree with that. It's all cover up. And like I say, they kind of mention it so they can say, well, we talked about that. But they didn't bring it to full front exposure like you're saying. I agree. I'm not trying to contradict what you're saying.
Well, here is an absurdity to throw out there, gentlemen. In Puerto Rico, they have shut down their 911 call centers because of COVID.
Well, yeah.
How does that make any sense?
That doesn't. That's weird.
As far as I can see, there's not any real cases going on. And someone brought up, who was it? Someone on the station here, I think it was Roe. He said that there's no accounting, or there are no cases for the common cold or the flu this year or pneumonia. And that ties into what, things I've seen some doctors say early on and other people. What they've done is patent the common cold and called it COVID-19 so they could sell test kits. So anyone that's getting the common cold or pneumonia now or similar type things, it's a strain of the common cold that they patented so the test kits pick it up. So you're not hearing the truth about these things. And it's such a fraud. And because people are ignorant and don't want to learn the truth, they listen to these news stations or whatever the case may be. They're just being jerked around. This whole system is just a jerk around.
Well,
and people fall for it.
For another laugh, we need some humor here. The president of Brazil recently celebrated the end of corruption in his country. But evidently one of his allies did not receive the memo. Police raided a Brazilian senator's home over evidence that he diverted coronavirus response funds from the government to criminal enterprises. Some of that money ended up in the senator's underwear. They found $5,000 in some plan.
Coffers or unders. Anyway, we'll be back in a few minutes. This is Dare to Think Out Loud station break, and we'll talk about more. We still got a quarter of the program to go. See you in a few minutes.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take
the future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
She
travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. My name is LB Bork, founder of People's Awareness Coalition, which is 22 years ago. Wow. Time flies when you're having fun. Which reminds me of what we used to say in this office I worked in. It was a citizens' law group down in Phoenix. They said, you're not doing it right if you're not having fun. And I don't know. I stopped having fun about 10 years ago when this New World Order commandeered the movement and people became disinterested in law. And they put their crap out there that people follow. One of our people in Ohio just had someone come up from North Carolina, and he had to spend like 3 days talking him out of the junk he's gotten off the internet. And that's what I've been witnessing for 15 years now, at least, that the disinformation agents are out there, and I don't know, it's very disgusting that people can't work together. And I've been trying to, but I don't know, they still appear on the station. And I don't understand it. Well, I do. People aren't that sharp. They're gullible as hell. Anyway, John, we've been keeping you quiet. Do you have anything to talk about, or want to talk about your meeting last night that you did with your friends a little bit?
Yeah, we just discussed the debate. And what had gone on, and it's just, I don't know. I'm so ready. I'm sure you guys are as well. Ready for the election to already to be done and over with. Can we just get it done, even though it's probably go. You know, we will be maybe the first election, and we'll maybe for months, many months. Truly, who won? I mean, there was some of that with the hanging chads and George W. Bush and Al Gore, but this one could be, you know, longer. We might not ever know. So I don't know. I don't know. This has just been a real crap show. And did you guys see Mitch McConnell? I think he might have the COVID or something severely wrong with him. He might be having a lot of bleeding because his lips were completely blue and his hands were blue. So he's on either some strong blood thinners or something. Maybe some heparin or Eloquus. So yeah, he did not. I mean, especially, you know, his hands. You expect some, you know, the hands are very vascular, so you expect some, you know, bruising there from time to time. The older that you get, but his lips being almost purple, that was
kind of scary. Well, now these dinosaurs need to go, but I made a mistake here. Mike, were you done with your thought before the break? I'm sorry.
Well, I was interested in listening to what John had to say here. I certainly don't want to cut him off and his thoughts.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's my fault. So.
And I thought that was very interesting about Mitch McConnell. I didn't see that, you know, but the first thing that popped into my mind was cocaine. But anyway.
yeah, I just recently heard, I think it was John that brought it up, that he was kind of a cocaine pusher. I didn't, you know, I thought maybe he wasn't doing it. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Well, John, please continue with your thought.
I mean, do you guys remember the Don Blankenship ads from West Virginia where he was making attack ads on Mitch McConnell, the mining magnate when he was running for a senator
yes.
as a Republican and ditch cocaine Mitch? And talking about that there were drugs, you know, being moved on commercial ships allegedly in the high seas from China. So I don't know. I always find that, you know, interesting. So I always call him Cocaine Mitch McConnell or my, you know. So I mean, it's I don't know. I guess he's talking about that. I think it was on his. It was on what was it? There was 40. I think it was like 30 or 40 packages of cocaine. That was found off a ship, off of one of the Central American or Latin American countries, or South American countries. I think maybe it was Colombia, but they were looking towards. Connections to Mitch McConnell in that regard, but I don't know.
You're at a loss for words.
I am because it's all Trump. What am I supposed to say? You know, Mitch McConnell's a horrible human being. They're all horrible.
See, this kind of ties into the Trump and the Q thing a little bit, you know, because draining the swamp, and like I said, all these dinosaurs have to go, like Biden. I think these foreign deals are important. I know Mike kind of says it's not important, but it's very important because I was going to say one more thing about this body politic. And I said it to someone at the station the other day. I think it was yesterday that there's a maxim of law that says when the foundation fails, all fails. Well, if we look at the Civil War, and the radical Republicans, they were backing Grant, and he had two terms in office right after Lincoln was done away with, and the dust settled, and they put the 14th Amendment in place, okay? His two terms in office were filled with graft and corruption. As far as I'm concerned, that set the stage for this government, and it hasn't changed. It's gotten worse, and people are voting for it. So we have 150 years of graft and corruption, and they protect it with the Secret Service and the CIA. It's not going to get any better, folks. You can't vote harder and do away with it. Its foundation is flawed, and as Mike will say, the constitutional foundation is flawed, as we discussed last half hour, that they wanted to do away with Christianity. So that's what we're dealing with. This is about the synagogue of Satan, and that's what's going on. It's not going to get fixed, folks. This is a spiritual issue.
Hey, John, if you're at a loss for words, let me run this one by you. See if you've heard this one. And that the San Diego School District, the second largest school district in the state of California, says that the students will no longer be graded based on an accumulative average or on how or when, even if they turn in homework assignments. says these are just some of the major grading changes approved this week by California's second largest school district. The San Diego Unified School District is overhauling the way it grades students. Board members say the changes are part of a larger effort to combat racism. Now, the vice president of the San Diego School Board said this, direct quote, "This is part of our honest reckoning as a school district. If we're actually going to be an anti-racist school district, we have to confront practices like this that have gone on for years and years."
If I could add something to that, all this racism and whatever, this ties into, if you look on the internet on YouTube, there's a video by Barbara Spector, and she's over in Europe screwing things up with multiculturalism, and she works, or you know, with the Synagogue of Satan. Again, she's of the Jewish nature, and these are the people that are doing this. They want everyone the same, and they want to be the elite when everything's done here. And they just want a working class people that profit for them. So that's what's going on with that, all this racism and white supremacy crap. It's all these people. You know, like I've been saying lately, follow the bouncing matzo ball, and it's going to go back to them.
Well, they said their reason for doing this was because only 7% of the failing marks in the school district went to white kids. That's obvious racism. I mean, we've got to stop education totally and completely so that we won't be racist. We do live in an insane world.
Yes. Well, it's all part of this program, so... what people should be doing, Americans should be doing right now, is pulling their kids out of school.
Because the schools are what are their babysitting service. They don't really care what they're taught. They just don't want to have to put up with their own children.
I know. I've heard it before. My mother used that one for the most part. She was a stay-at-home mom, and she goes, "Well, I don't have time to school my kids." Whatever. It's a spiritual issue we're dealing with, totally. And with 230 years of Americans being held to secular law or secular system, I don't know how it's going to change. I don't know how. Multiculturalism, as I was telling John earlier this week, it doesn't work.
Well, it can't change until it crashes. It has to end to get a change. You can't turn this train around. It's going too fast.
Well, now it is. It wasn't 20 years ago when I brought this to everyone's attention. You know, it's, I don't know. Sorry, I tend to stand on my soapbox too much. And I feel sorry for, you know, people like John, because he's young. My cousin even said, "Well, lucky we only got about 20 years left of this." And I go, "You got a daughter, asshole. You don't care about her? But that's America. Thanks, Ayn Rand."
Yeah.
Everyone's about themselves. Doesn't matter if you have kids or not or whatever.
So what are we going to...
You're at a loss for words again.
What are we going to do?
Everyone needs a bitch slap, and that's what they need, you know?
The only thing for the people who truly love liberty in this country, and it truly matters to them, freedom and liberty, the only thing we have left is to sit on the sidelines and pray for divine intervention. Just the view from my saddle.
Oh, I mentioned that I'm a Christian. I'm really not, because it's been so polluted, the Christianity aspect. I follow Yeshua, the one that brought all this freedom to us 2,000 years ago. And people that don't believe in the Bible and whatever, I go, well, if you don't believe in that, it's still a good story and it works for me, you know. But, of course, I believe the full gamut of it, but it's up to them to decide, you know, what they want to believe.
John, do you think there's a solution?
Outside of divine intervention or outside of us returning to the law, no.
The problem is the masses are asses and they wear rose-colored glasses and, you know, unfortunately, we're all subdued or, you know, overpowered by them. Republican freedom can only go so far, you know, and the country's screwed up. You know, so you're living amongst these people. I know a lot of people are going out and, you know, the woods or getting their little, you know, tiny house or whatever out in the middle of nowhere. It's eventually going to catch up to them. I've had a lot of people leave the United States that, you know, to get away with this. Well, this is worldwide. You're not going to get away with it. Or get away from it. Maybe, you know, on a small basis you can, but one of the people at the station have done that, has done that. Dave has done it, but they're getting affected by the countries they move to. So, you know, I knew this years ago. You gotta face the music. Anyway, go ahead, John.
I said we did a show on it. Isn't it more honorable for us to stay instead of a
country? Right,
expat?
Yeah, we did. You're right. I think it is. You can't run away. You should, that's not fidelity to your people, which I realized, you know, about 10 years ago, I realized that I didn't have a people. They're all mushheads, secular minded. You know, they have no spiritual background. I realized that I was Marxized, you know, after I started waking up, you know, when I left the house, I was emancipated. And people don't understand what emancipation is. It's giving freedom. And children are property of their parents. And, of course, that's been screwed up by the communist or Marxist system. You know, they've given women priority over their property and taken it away from man. But that's because of the synagogue of Satan. That's all they're doing. And there's much more, you know, that has been done. People don't understand it. They could, because, you know, if you haven't seen it yourself with your own eyes, your grandparents or father can tell you all kinds of stories. It doesn't sink in until you experience it. Well, America's experienced, you know, 230 years of this, 150 solidly since the Jesuit order took over. During the Civil War, which is just another organ of the synagogue of Satan. So, you know, people are born in a box. So they would know freedom if it bit them in the ass. All they know of freedom is what the politicians tell them. Oh, we're the freest country in the world. It might be the most materialistic country in the world, but it's not the most free. I doubt very much. Someone mentioned in chat here that it was Mitzi. She was talking about a Hopi friend she was talking to, that voting's criminal, and they haven't voted. They were given their U.S. citizenship outside what the Constitution, even Section 2 of the 14th Amendment says, that they're free, a free nation under the law, according to the, you know, the mandates of the Constitution. And but they were sucked into it in the early 1900s. I forget the name of the act, but they can vote now for their slavery and their socialist benefits, you know. So, but anyway, this Hopi friend of hers said he never voted. They get it, she says. And she went on to say that it's not in line with natural law or God's law, which is absolutely right. It's socialism. You know, that's another thing. If you want to say Trump's lying about something, or maybe he's ignorant, that America is never going to be socialist. It's socialist. It was when they put the Constitution in place. They've just accelerated it, and that's what progressive means, folks. It's progressively done, And John pointed out that, you know, there's the Fabian socialism that they've implemented here. It's kind of silent, right, John?
Yeah, it's soft socialism instead of like revolution, Bolshevikism, like hard socialism that you would see with the French Revolution or Bolshevik Revolution.
Right. Well, they kind of did that here with the Civil War. That was the Bolshevik type.
But people still don't realize that they are under it, though, Mr. Bork, though. You know, it's not like, you know, we were in China right now or in the USSR. And, you know, this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. And we think we're all free, but we have the largest population per capita and prison in the world. You know, I mean,
right.
We're not.
It's silent totalitarianism is what it is. Yeah. Or authoritarianism. They could take the, they're slipping the velvet glove off the iron fist really slowly right now. Mike, say something.
Well, I was listening. Okay. It's hard to broadcast and be tuned in at the same time.
Yeah. But like I said, I can stand in a, you know, I was complaining to John that I don't do good monologues, but I sure can get on the soapbox when I need to. Sorry, folks, I get a little upset at all this.
Well, LB, if you're not upset, you're not paying attention.
Yep. It's very sad what's going on. Anyway, what's for dinner, guys?
We got to leave some people with some hope. Something.
Oh, did you see that? That was one story I saw this week that the Pope was talking about same-sex marriages. Speaking of Jesuits.
Leave them with hope, Mr. Bork. Go ahead.
Leave who with hope?
Speaking of Jesuits and them being an organ of the synagogue of Satan, you know. Oh, we only got about 3 or 4 minutes left, something like that. Do you two guys want to talk about your programs a little bit?
Go ahead,
yeah,
John.
You go ahead, Mike. Okay, well, I got to go a little
bit. Don't fight over it now. Don't be Democrats and Republicans.
You guys can find me. We've read the documents on YouTube. We've underscore read on Twitter. I'm over there, you know, talking about my belief in Jesus Christ and what's, you know, parapolitics and, you know, just breaking down to what's going on and everything. And, you know, I have, you know, people that you've heard on this station, you know, Mr. Bork, Mike, Gaddy, Jimmy Jean, and the Epic Journeyman. So, you know, please subscribe if you like hearing my views. Just a millennial trying to figure out what's going on. Definitely want to thank you guys for having me on Dare to Think Out Loud again. I wish I had more to say. I just am kind of low energy and fed up until, I guess, after the election. Now, what is there to say? It's just a mess. It's just a giant mess.
Yeah, well, like Mike said, this could carry on till January, you know? So, I don't know. We got to get busy now. I've been trying to get busy, but like you said, John, everyone's thinking about this damn election. And even it's affected me basically or mainly because other people are affected by it. And of course, this virus has just totally screwed everything up. You know, and like, sorry, Mike, I'll let you talk in a second. The main thing that I center on is Fossey said, and it's on Snopes, they agree with it. You know, everyone questions that organization or that website. They agree that Fossey said there's going to be a surprise virus for Trump to deal with in the year 2020, back in 2017. So they knew this was going to happen. It's a plan. And people don't talk about that. Talk about not talking about something. This is all orchestrated. It's bullshit. Anyway, Mike, tell people about your program on Sundays, I believe it is. Yeah.
Well, on Sunday afternoons here on Freedom Slips or Revolution Radio, I have a program called Addicted to Your Own Destruction, and where we delve into such matters. And also on Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern, along with Terry Dodd, have a program called Handling the Truth. And thought of you a lot last night, John, because we went in heavy on last night's program to Patrick Henry and discussed a lot of the things you and I did when I was a guest on your show.
Thanks. Mitzi just asked me in chat about multiculturalism not working. Basically, what happens is under the civil law, and that's all planned out through the Jesuit order of the church, that if you have people, they've taken people's custom and usage law away from them, and to make everything work, they have to interject the civil law. So that's what's going on. People don't have their natural law forms that they would deal with under custom and usage. They took those away from during the Civil War from the Americans, which was just totalitarianism. But people don't understand it and see it. So people are governed by statute law instead of the common law or their custom usage law. So that's why it doesn't work. And they've planned this intentionally. And that's part and parcel of why they force multiculturalism so they can control everyone under statutory law. Anyway, my show is on Tuesdays, and it's Ultimate Remedy that no one really wants to take care of or deal with, but because they love their Marxism so much. Anyway, yeah, it's on from 6 to 8 here, Revolution Radio, and have a nice weekend. We're out of time. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week. Thanks, guys.
Listening to Revolution.